Amen. All my life, you have been faithful. Even when we are faithless, he remains faithful. Even before we knew him, he was being faithful to us. We didn't have to hang around long enough to get to know him, but it was because of his faithfulness that he preserved our lives until we were able to recognize that he's been faithful all of our lives. Welcome to March 20th, and again, to the first day of spring. And we also want to say a very special happy birthday to Malia Mills this morning, who is celebrating a momentous birthday. She's 13 today, so she's entering her teenage years. God bless you, child. God bless you, Chris and Anika. God bless everybody. So congratulations, Malia. Have a wonderful, wonderful birthday celebration. I just want to say, for those of you who are streaming, if for some reason your signal is interrupted, either because of your device or, you know, the cyber goblins are at work or something, you can review the full service by going to our website, valleybrook.church, and clicking on sermons. You will see the option for audio. You'll also see the option to view. Also, the sermon notes will be there. But if you miss a portion of the service, you know, your device goes on glitch, and you want to catch just that portion, you can go back and review that this evening. Usually it's this evening or early Monday, definitely by Monday evening. So just wanted to say that. We talked about that at our leaders meeting. We wanted to make sure that that was clear, that you knew that that option was available to you. So don't despair if you miss some portion of the service. You can review it by going to our website and clicking on sermons. Praise the Lord for this morning. And praise the Lord for this month. Because this month we're talking about the blessing of being privileged partners with our Heavenly Father, with the living God. And from my weekly Just a Moment piece from a couple of weeks ago, I want to begin with these words. Many of us have watched certain favorite movies many times, not because they are unfamiliar, but because they are familiar. We know the scenes. Ask my wife about Now Voyager when Betty Davis gets off the boat. She'll tell you all about it. Ask Sister Tanera about anything about the movie The Heiress. Ask Michael Yakey. Hey, Michael, ask Michael out there about any of the Star Wars movies that he's seen. Ask me about any of the 156 episodes of The Twilight Zone, the classic black and white Twilight Zone. All you have to do is just name a snippet of dialogue and I will tell you which episode and the name. We know how it's going to end. We can quote portions of the dialogue. Mama said, life is like a box of chocolates. And also, you know, things that have actually become part of our culture, like that phrase, or I'm going to make him an offer that he can't refuse. We watch them not because they're new, but because they inspire us. Or because they make us laugh, or because they warm our hearts, or because they excite us. We can take the same approach in our meditation on our favorite scripture passages. We can regard them as precious, not because they're new, but because of the familiar truths that they contain, that bring us joy, that bring us hope, that bring us peace, or give us direction. We remember phrases like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We remember phrases like, God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose, or I will never leave you or forsake you. When Demetrius Weatherford read that piece that I just read for you, she wrote to me immediately and sent me an email and said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? She said, I remind myself of this verse often. It's a favorite. It's a favorite truth that I visit. As it is written, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I have taken your testimonies as a heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. So our text for today is one of my favorite passages. It's one of those favorite movies. It's one of those favorite scenes. It's one of those favorite passages that I repair to quite often, because when it comes to what we are selling, quote unquote, now we're not selling anything for money in the strict sense, but we are part of our Father's family business. And it is our job to promote the product. It is our job to present the product to the world in various ways, various means. But in any sales course, they will tell you one fundamental truth is absolutely essential. Before you go out there trying to sell it, know your product. Know your product. Now, we all know our product in a sense because we belong to him and he has given us the knowledge of himself so that we could say yes to him. The only reason why we said yes to him is because he revealed himself to us to be more than just a concept, to be more than just a religion. He revealed himself to us, and we responded to that. So in that sense, we do know him. But I want to talk about knowing him in a way that we're able to also explain to others how to know him, so that we can explain to others. There's an aspect, and we talked about this in week one, there's an aspect where we just share our testimonies, where we just share what God has done for us and who God is to us. And that is wonderful, and that is the most powerful tool we have. But there is also an element where if you're sitting on a plane next to someone and you're flying from New York to Los Angeles, and the person says to you, after you've shared your glorious story about what Jesus is to you, they may say, that sounds fantastic. How can I get to know him? What do you say in that moment? Now, God uses whatever we say. It's not our flawless presentations that bring anybody into the kingdom of God, because number one, none of us have flawless presentations. And no matter how clear our explanation may be, no matter how precise our points may be, no matter how great our explanations and analogies and metaphors, none of that really matters. What really matters is the Lord opening up their minds and their hearts to understand. But there is a way of being able to present our product to people in a way that's clear, and in a way that they can apprehend. And I want to talk about that this morning, because when it comes to what we're selling, the text for today is, it's clear, it's concise, and it's complete. And that's why it's one of my favorite passages when it comes to promoting the product of our Father's business and our family business. So turn with me to our text today, which is 1 John 5, 11 through 13. 1 John 5, 11 through 13. Not the Gospel of John, 1 John, towards the end of your Bible. 1 John 5, and I'm just going to start with verse 11. And this is the testimony. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things, verse 13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Amen. If you're taking notes, today's message is titled, Now This Is What Living Is All About. Now this is what living is all about. The Amplified version of the Bible enhances the flavor of this text in a beautiful way. It renders it like this. And the testimony is this. God has given us eternal life. We already possess it. And this life is in his Son, resulting in our spiritual completeness and eternal companionship with him. He who has the Son, by accepting him as Lord and Savior, has the life. That is eternal. He who does not have the Son of God by personal faith does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, which represents all that Jesus Christ is and does, that's his name, so that you will know with settled and absolute knowledge, that you already have eternal life. Now, it just doesn't get any clearer. It doesn't get any more concise. It doesn't get any more complete than that, in my opinion. Of course, I can use a number of verses, and you may have your own favorite passage, but this one is all in one place. It's right there. You can just read it, and it says it right there. So if you ask me to use a single passage, Pastor, if you were going to use a single passage sitting down to talk to someone about how they can experience Jesus as their Savior, this would be the passage I would choose. So I want to delve a little bit deeper into this passage. And if you're taking notes, let me explain how I'm going to do this. We're going to take this passage phrase by phrase, and we're going to look at complementary and supplemental verses to flesh out with a little bit more detail to give you some more weapons, to give you some more insights that can help to enhance a person's understanding of what these phrases are talking about. The phrase, the first one we're going to look at is God has given us eternal life. The second one is this life is in his Son. The third one is whoever has the Son has the life. And number four is believe so that you may know. And I'll repeat those as I go. So this is number one. Verse 11, God has given us eternal life. Present tense. Eternal life is now. So many people think that when Jesus said, I came that you might have life, or when the scripture talks about God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, they think that that means when you die and you go to heaven. That is certainly a big part of it. But as we see here, God has given us eternal life. We've got it now. Not just going to heaven when we die. You have eternal life right now. It says in John 6 that he who hears my words, or I think it's John 5 rather, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life, present tense, and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. You've already died and been resurrected. When you physically die, you're going to be resurrected to be in heaven. But you are, when you said yes to Jesus, you died. And he resurrected you. You passed out of death into life. Thank you, Jesus. We're living that life right now. What kind of life is it? Spiritual completeness and eternal companionship. Spiritual completeness and eternal companionship. A life of hope, a life of joy, a life of freedom, a life of peace, a life of reassurance of God's love. Listen to this amazing verse in Colossians 2:10. And by the way, all of these verses will be on my notes that will be posted on our website later on. So if you forget something or if I'm going too fast, don't fret. Colossians 2:10, it says, "In him you have been made complete." You've been made complete. Not you're going to be complete. You've been made complete. What in the world does that mean? I don't feel complete. I'm not always acting complete. I'm not always sensing completeness, but that's what it says. It says, you have been made complete. We don't get anything more from God, brothers and sisters, as far as our spiritual completeness goes. What happens is we grow in our realization of how complete we are. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not to give you more. His work is to help you to see what you've got. Because you've been made complete. And as your relationship with God grows, as the Holy Spirit continues to walk with us as our instructor, as our coach, as our companion, as our friend, as our teacher, he is showing us day by day the various gifts that are ours because of the new covenant in Christ's blood. You've been made complete. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, what we've received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. 2 Peter 1:3 says, he has granted us everything we need. Everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. How? Through our knowledge of him. Isn't that great? I get excited looking at these passages. I've seen them for years, but they're familiar and they're wonderful. They're wonderful. We are not on the installment plan of life and godliness. You don't get a shipment every month. You're not on the installment plan. It's not about getting more. You've got it. The whole package came when you said Jesus. Amen. When you said yes to Jesus, the whole package showed up on your front door. You know what's happening now is that through life, God is waking us morning by morning, and by his faithfulness, he's pulling various items out. Did you know this was in there? Did you know that was in there? Did you know this was in here? Let me show you what's under here. Oh, and you think you had that one all figured out? Did you know it does this? That's what's going on. But you've gotten everything. And thank God for the Holy Spirit who has been placed in our lives so that we may understand what God has freely given us. You have eternal life. And this is what it is. This is really living. Thank you, Jesus. Someone shared this quote by Madeline Langle, and they sent it via text. It says, we do not draw people to Christ by loudly discrediting what they believe, by telling them how wrong they are and how right we are, but by showing them a light that is so lovely that they want with all their hearts to know the source of it. Amen. Absolutely. A light that is so bright, so marvelous, so wonderful that they want to know, what in the world is the source of that? And that is also the way that, not only is it the way that we attract others to Christ, it's the way we promote growth in believers. See, sometimes what happens is we bait believers in with this idea that God loves you and no matter what. And then once they're in the kingdom, we beat them down with rules and regulations and obligations. And now it's all up to you. Wait a minute, on the front end, it was all up to him. Well, now I'm in the kingdom, it's all up to me. What's that? It's called bait and switch. But the same lure that we use to bring people into the kingdom is the same lure that we need to use with one another to help us to grow in Christ. The very same thing. We have a living and live in inspiration for today. He's called the Holy Spirit. He's living and he's live in and he's with us all the time. Today, tomorrow, and all the days of our lives henceforth, we have eternal life. And he's given this life to all who believe. The second thing it says is this life is in his Son. This life is in his Son. That's the life. That's what he's offering. Where is it? The life is in the Son. The life is accessed by faith in the Son, by a personal relationship with him. It's in his Son because the Son paid the price for our sins. The reason I don't worship the universe is because the universe didn't die for me. The universe did not pay for my sins. The scripture says the Son paid the price. Isaiah 53 in the Old Testament gives us the details. I'd encourage you to read it more than on Easter or more than on Good Friday. Because Isaiah 53, written 700 years before Jesus ever showed up, explains the details. But not just Isaiah. Acts 10:43 says this. All the prophets, Isaiah and all the rest of them, testify about him, about Jesus, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Life is in the Son. Matthew 1:21, the angel spoke to Joseph and said, she, Mary, will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. There is no other name. Eternal life is in the Son. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. When John the Baptizer saw Jesus coming, John 1:29, when he saw Jesus coming toward him, he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Thank you, Jesus. No other name. And Jesus added this to all that was said. He said, all who came before me, professing to be the Messiah, all who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep have not listened to them. The sheep hear my voice, and they know my voice is the real deal.
Amen,
brother. I'm a sheep too, even though my wool's gone. What did he offer us as proof? In John 2:19, Jesus said, destroy this temple and I will raise it up after 3 days. The proof that life is in the Son is not Jesus' word per se. It is his resurrection from the dead. That's what he said would be the proof. He didn't say, just listen to what I'm saying. He said, if you really, really want proof, destroy this temple and I will raise it again. And it is the resurrection of Jesus that distinguishes him from every other religious figure that ever was and ever will be. And so he said, okay, you want some credentials? I got to do more than some miracles. I got to do more than preach real well, because there's lots of people who are out there preaching, and there were lots of people doing miracles. They were not of God, but there were a lot of people doing miracles. And even those who were doing them of God, the prophets, they never claimed to be the Messiah. They kept pointing people to the Messiah. And when Jesus did the miracles, he said, no, if you're not going to believe because of my word, at least believe because of the miracles. And if that's not enough for you, destroy this temple and I'll be back. Eternal life is in Jesus. Oh, I praise the Lord. I wrote in my journal, I came to Christ with nothing but brokenness. This is speaking about me, Dan Beatty. I came to Jesus with nothing but brokenness, confusion, and ignorance. That's all I had to give him. And it was then, and it was there, at the intersection of abject neediness and desperate hunger, that I met him. Or rather, he met me. He entered my life with a force and a fire that was undeniable, that was unimaginable, that was unfathomable, and for more than 40 years now, it's been unquenchable. He became for me the difference between dark despair and resplendent wonder. It was only him. Life in the Son. It was him. It was not religion. It was not rules. Nor was it an immediate change in my circumstances. It was just him. And today, he's the difference between who I was and who I am becoming. Between what I understood and what I am growing to understand. Between what I wanted and what I am broadening now to want. He was the distinguishing factor in my life then, and he continues to be so today. And every day I celebrate my independence from the dominion of darkness, as it says in Colossians 1:13, into the freedom and fascination that I now enjoy in him. That's a testimony. That's the truth. That's my story. That's my life. That's how it happened. That's why I'm here. John 17:3 tells us this, summarizing the second point. John 17:3, it says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Life is in the Son. Life comes from knowing him. Life comes from being in relationship with him. Eternal life is Jesus. He is the life. And if you have him, you have the life. And as you get to know him better, that life becomes more and more vivid. It becomes more and more personal. It becomes more and more powerful. Because we recognize it more and more. And then the third point here. Whoever has the Son has the life. If you have Jesus, you have life. If you do not have Jesus, you do not have life. Whoever has the Son. Not whoever has lived a worthy life. Not whoever regularly went to confession. Not whoever prayed regularly. Not whoever really tried to keep the commandments. Not whoever really tried to be a good person. Whoever has the Son. I happened upon an old Johnny Carson Tonight Show interview with Billy Graham. And Ed McMahon is sitting here, and Johnny is asking Billy Graham questions, and the audience is just absolutely still. I thought of posting this on our website. I don't know, maybe I will, but it was riveting. I mean, it was, you could hear a pin drop, and Johnny was asking him questions about the Bible. He was asking him questions about sex. He was asking him, he asked him, "Did you ever watch an X-rated movie?" He asked him, what's better for a kid to watch, something that's violent or something that just has a whole bunch of sex in it? Which one is worse? So he's asking him all these kinds of questions about atheists. And he asked him this. He said, "Do you ever think about death at all? And what do you envision after death?" And Johnny said to him, Billy said to him, he said, when I think about death, I envision heaven." And he said, "I'm not going there because I've preached to a lot of people." He said, "I'm not going there because I've read the Bible." He said, "I'm not going there because I'm good. I'm going there because of what Christ did for me on the cross. I'm saved by the grace of God." And he says, now the word grace carries with it the idea that I don't deserve it. I can't buy my way. I can't work my way. In fact, I'm a sinner, Johnny, just like you. And Johnny sat back in his seat. "Me?" And then Billy turned and said, "And like you, Ed." And then Johnny said, "And like all you out there," to the audience. But that's the truth. That's the truth. It's the simple truth. He who has the Son has the life. And the final point says, believe so you may know. Believe, verse 13, believe so you may know. You know, there's a moment as you're about to enter another country. And those who have traveled abroad, you know this moment. There's a moment when you're about to enter another country and you're going through passport control. And you hand your passport over to the officer. And he inspects it. And then he looks up at you and he asks you those few questions. And even though you know everything is right, and even though you know you're not a crook, and even though you know you don't have anything you're smuggling into the country, even though you know you are legitimately there and you have all the papers that you need, there's a moment where you pause with a little bit of uncertainty. And don't let the person study it long. There's that moment when we're a little bit apprehensive. And you have this hovering thought. What if something's not right? What if they find something? I remember I was traveling to Kenya and I got stopped in, we were traveling to Zambia, I think it was, and got stopped in Zimbabwe. And my traveling companion just went right through and they stopped me. and said, wait a minute, you hold on. I was like, wait a minute, I'm with him. You hold on. And he said, you know, you're on standby. I said, but wait a minute, I have a flight that goes all the way through. I said, well, you have to wait. You have to wait. I said, but what if nobody gets off? Well, you won't be going. But it was terrifying because I'm like, I don't want to be I don't want to be here. I don't know where I don't know where to go next. And why me? 10,000 people going through and he stops me. So there's that moment when you wonder whether or not you're going to make it through. There is going to be no such moment when you see Jesus. There need be no such moment in your heart now. Because he who has the Son, all your papers are in order. And God has said it. You got the Son? You don't have to worry about some buzzer going off when you start passing through the gates of heaven. You don't have to worry about the angel scanning you and the scanner going beep, 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 beep. Would you empty your pockets, sir? You don't have to worry about him inspecting your documents long. Because there's really only one thing he's going to be looking for. There's only one thing he's going to be looking for. And he already knows that before you show up. Do you have the Son? If you do, you have life. You have life. God wants us to be certain. He wants us. If there's nothing that you get from this point, this is it. God wants us to be certain. That's why he put it there. He says, I write these things so that you may know. There was a time in my life when it came to thinking about heaven, I didn't know. There was a time in my life when I hoped. When I hoped that I had somehow been good enough to make it. When I hoped that somehow or another, when I got to God, I would be able to put on my best plea and get through. But I found out something different. I found out that I can know. And I found out that there's no guessing. And I found out that there's no hoping. And I found out that there's no wondering. And I found out I could say, I know that I have eternal life. And I know I can say that it's not arrogance. It's faith. It's not arrogance. You know, folks used to say, well, you can't be saying that. You know you're going to heaven. That's just pride. It's not pride. It's only pride if it's not based on believing in the Son. Then it's pride. I know I'm going to make it because I've been good enough. That's pride. But I know I'm going to make it because of the Son. That's faith. It's only pride if we're relying on our own efforts. It's only pride if it's based on our own good works instead of on saying yes to Jesus. Jesus himself said, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Not might be. In heaven is written your name. Now, I don't know if it's your new name or I don't know if it's your old name. Because you're going to get a new name as we've been talking about. So I don't know which name is written, your birth name or your rebirth name. But you are the one that it applies to, and it's already written there. And Peter even tells us, he says, your hope, he says, there, your place in heaven is already reserved. Reserved for you in heaven. Little name tents are already set out at the Lamb's feast. Your name is on it, your place. Your name is written in heaven. I write these things to you so that you may know with absolute certainty. what your eternal destiny will be when you leave this life and what you have presently in this life. You may know that you have eternal life. God wants us to be worry-free about our passport to heaven. When we say yes to Jesus, he stamps it, not with ink, but with the precious blood of the Lamb. That's the only visa you need. It's the only one that'll be accepted. So that's it. 1 John 5:11 through 13. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. With all that being said, if there's anybody here this morning who can't say, I know for certain that I'm going to heaven. If there's anybody here in this room, if there's anybody out there listening, watching, who cannot say for absolute certain that I know that I have eternal life, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to say yes. The only requirement for having a Savior is seeing your need for a Savior. That's it. That's all you need to do is see that you need a Savior. You've heard me say before, some of you, that the difference between being thankful and being mad when someone drags you out of your house is whether or not you believe there's a fire. Somebody drags you out of your house and there's no perception of a fire or danger, that's assault. But if they grab you and drag you out when there's smoke, you say, hallelujah, you saved my life. Becoming a believer is about recognizing the house is on fire and you need to be saved. That's all. And you don't need to jump through any hoops. All you need to do is say yes to the living Christ who has risen from the dead and is present among us. All you have to say is, yes, I want that. You know, that's all I said that night. I didn't even know all of this the night that I became a believer. All I knew is I needed a Savior. I needed Jesus, and I said yes. And he came into my life, and that's all you need. So we're going to bow our heads. And if you will pray along with me, it's not about the prayer. It's about the heart. It's about what is going on inside of you. It is about the sincerity of the request, not about the words that you use. And all you have to say is, if Pastor Dan, if what he said up there is true, I want that, Jesus. I want that from you. I receive that from you. Because the scripture says it is a gift of God that he offers the whole world. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word, as our sister Janelle said earlier. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for this precious truth. In our midst, Lord, are those of us who have said yes to you. There may be some among us, Lord, who have not said yes to you. There may be others who wonder whether they said yes to you. I just pray in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that anyone whose heart has been affected by these words, anyone who wants to say yes to you, you would open up their spirit, open up their mind, remove their reservations and fears. Remove their doubts and help them, Lord, to just extend their hand to you right now. as though they are reaching out to you to say yes. In their hearts, whether they physically extend their hands or not, but in their hearts, they would be reaching out their hands to you to say yes. If you are in this situation, if you are one of those who are in doubt, I just invite you to pray along with me. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge before you that I need a Savior. I don't understand it all, but I've heard enough to know that I want you. And I invite you into my life as my Lord and Savior. I recognize my need for you. And I thank you for forgiving my sins and for the invitation for me to become a son or daughter of the Most High. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. By the way, if you did pray that, if you did make that decision, please email me, call me, tug on my sleeve after today's message, but let me know somehow that you've done that. We have some follow-up information that we'd like to get to you.